the only running back rookie that I see having the hype that Leonard Fournette's having is Christian Michael. Is it Michael? Jesus Christ.
Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey. We were talking about Christian Michael earlier. For the love of God.
Oh, God, you're bringing up his name again?
Not Christian Michael. Not Christian Michael. Christian McCaffrey. I'm ready for Rossi.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Sleeper Wire Podcast. Yeah.
Woo!
I am delivering that with excitement because I am back. And not only am I back, I've got my co-hosts with me. Of course, we have the darling of Sleeper Wire, Mike. And, of course, we've got the talkative, the loudmouth, the brash, Max.
Back you forgot, with us you, once you again. Forgot to add him, America's sweetheart.
No, I actually didn't forget to leave that out.
I think you did. I mean, if he's the darling, I'm the sweetheart. I'm just saying.
Well, Max, you are back, and it's been a while. Why don't you say hello to the fans?
What is up, guys? It has been far too long. I'm glad to be back. Nick, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And it's going to be an exciting episode for all of us to be together on, because today we are going to do a really early draft trends episode. And what I mean by that is we've compiled some mock drafts recently, and we've gone through the data and seen what are we seeing out there? You know, what are we seeing about the experts' ADPs? What are we seeing you, the people, drafting out there? It's been some interesting stuff in my eyes. I'm sure you guys have seen some interesting things as well. And we're going to dive right into that. All that stuff is going to get covered. But before we get into that, I'm going to tell you guys about something. It's something that I've discovered recently that's really cool and really awesome, especially if you're the type who has a man cave, want to get yourself some cool gear, some sports memorabilia. I mean, for instance, I just got myself an autographed picture, Walter Payton. Yeah, that's right, certified. Of course, and a certified Gale Sayers jersey signed by Gale Sayers. So I've got two really cool items, all framed up, looking real nice, that I can put in my man cave. And also, I got them at sweet deals. I mean, I looked up what their resale value is. I mean, you could sell these things for five times their value for what you're getting. And where can you get these items, I bet you're asking right now? Well, I'll tell you, it's pristineauction.com. P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. It's one of the best sites, I think, today for avid sports collectors. I mean, there's all types of things. I mean, listen, I'm a Bears fan, as you guys know. So, of course, I'm going to get some legendary Bears stuff. But there's other players out there, too. I mean, you can get David Johnson signed jerseys. Or, you know, the one we're actually having a contest right now for, an Antonio Brown signed jersey that you guys can win, leaving a five-star review on either iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you can find our podcast. Leave us a five-star review and email us at sleepawire@gmail.com your name and where we can contact you if you are the winner of this contest. So, guys, please go check out Pristine Auction. Go check out us. Show us some love and support and have at it, the auction. All right, guys, let's dig into it. Let's get into these draft trends. So, guys, there's some things I've been noticing here. Now, I want to start off with the beginning of the draft. You know, the top six players have been pretty common theme. Zeke Elliott, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones. I think we can all agree here that it doesn't matter, I think, which one of those guys you take in the first pick. It's interchangeable. I mean, would you agree, Max?
When you look at the top five, six players, you'd almost stretch to eight if you think Green's going to go way off this year. They are all the same. Like, they're not the same, but, like, realistically, you're looking at the same production. You're looking at the highest quality production. I mean, you got to think, every year I'm going to say Ezekiel Elliott or Antonio Brown, but then you have Julio Jones and Odell Beckham. And then you have, Jesus Christ, Bell, David Johnson.
It's been a while, huh, Max?
Holy shit, dude. That's funny, because I'm rambling on and on and on about football and talking like no issue. Then it comes to this, I'm just like, oh, who are the top 10 players in the NFL? Max, you're so stupid all the time.
And he said Odell Green Beckham.
Yeah, I was like, Odell Beckham. That's what we were just talking about, Odell Green Beckham.
Yeah, that's it. We were talking about Odell Green Beckham. I mean, Doriel Green Beckham. You're the one who was arguing off the show.
Just restart the question.
I think we should just leave this in. That's what I think.
Realistically, I mean, yeah, are funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Off the air, we were talking about Doriel Green Beckham, and you know, we were talking about the whole situation. Okay, you know what? I'm going to break this down for you fans. Off the air, me and Max agreed to a bet. He says that Carson Wentz is going to finish as a top 10 quarterback and better than Marcus Mariota, which I think is complete bullshit. And I think if anybody else heard that out there, excuse me, they would all be laughing right now. I'm sure you guys are. Go ahead. Laugh. Wait, hold on, Max. I'm going to let them laugh. Come on, guys. Let me hear you laugh. Got it. Okay.
All right. So please keep in mind the Doriel Green Beckham part had nothing to do with the reasons why Carson Wentz would be better than Mariota. I just feel like Carson Wentz is a better quarterback. If you want to look at weapons, Carson Wentz has amazing weapons when it comes to being an elite quarterback with the potential to be an elite top 10 quarterback.
Right. And he was saying is Marcus Mariota should have gotten it done if he was so good because he had Doriel Green Beckham last year.
Well, I'm just saying Wentz got more done with Doriel Green Beckham than Marcus Mariota did. And it's one of those things where, short of throwing to Delaney Walker, there was nothing that, like, impressed me in Mariota's game at all. I think he's, like, a better Tim Tebow.
Oof. Yikes. All right. Well, anyways, we have the bet here. You've heard it first. I think Marcus Mariota will definitely finish as a top 10 quarterback and finish better than Carson Wentz, while Max has Carson Wentz finishing better than Marcus Mariota and a top 10 quarterback. We will see how the season progresses and keep you guys updated on that. Now, back to the other topic at hand. So we were talking about the first round. You know, you got your six, maybe even eight guys who are interchangeable. You know, Mike, let's go to you because we haven't heard your voice for a little bit. Doing some of your mock draft, were there any names that stuck out to you in the first round that you were like, wow, really? People are taking this guy already there?
You know, the first round actually really looks like it's shaping up exactly how I would imagine it would. I mean, you've got all the top names up there. I don't really think you can lose out. I mean, barring injury, I don't really think there's a first round bust that I'm anticipating. I mean, if anybody that I don't like in the first round and only in PPR leagues is Ezekiel Elliott. I just don't feel like he's going to get the workload that he got last year. I just don't see that happening. I mean, he might triple it. Who knows? I mean, the guy's a beast.
You're crazy.
And, yeah, I agree. Like, I completely agree with that statement. Like,
yeah, he is crazy.
I just don't really see him making the impact that the rest of the first rounders are, I guess. Like, as far as 1, 2, and 3 go, I think 5, 6, or 7 would probably be more appropriate.
I'm sorry, but I got to agree with Max here. I really think that Elliott's going to increase his production as far as making more receptions this season. He definitely was a large part of the reason why the Cowboys had the success they did. So he is the focal point of that offense, while Dak Prescott is more of maybe an above average game manager at this point.
Well, it's like, can I just bring, like, I'm looking at a current ADP right now of like what the top 10 projected players are. So okay. Number one, David Johnson. You know, I can see that. Le'Veon Bell is number two.
You know what's funny is, Max, I loved last season how so down you were on David Johnson.
I still, like, oh, that's the thing with David Johnson is when everyone's like, oh, he's the number one player in the NFL. And it's like, I don't think he is. But, you know, if we're saying the top eight are interchangeable, yeah, like, all right, David Johnson number one, that's fine. He should have roughly the same numbers as Le'Veon Bell. So it goes David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ezekiel Elliott, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, AJ Green. Now, those top eight, I really like. I think, you know, that, like, you could, honestly, short of maybe Mike Evans and AJ Green, you could take the top six in any order you want, and good for you. Like, that's fine.
I 100% agree. That was my original point in the beginning of this, but, this
like,
conversation.
Well, I'm saying, if someone reached for Mike Evans at four, or, you know, AJ Green at five, I'd be like, all right, you know, like, whatever, if you like them, you like them. They're extremely good players.
Sure.
But when you get to 9 and 10, the ADP is LeSean McCoy and Melvin Gordon. Now, I had Melvin Gordon last year. I picked him up. The only zero RB draft I did, I picked up Melvin Gordon super late and LeGarrette Blount super late, and I got very lucky. Wow. But LeSean McCoy is a running back who I personally love. I loved him on the Eagles. I think he's great, but there is a hit injury history, and he's older. Mm-hmm. He's definitely on the second half of his career. So I don't know if he's necessarily the best pick. And Melvin Gordon really relied on injuries. He really relied on the rest of the team falling apart for him just to have this monster season, because there really was no other option. He was it. He was the only guy in the backfield.
Well, so, but now he's the only guy there. Who else is challenging him for the job? Brandon Oliver?
Brandon Oliver had a good run. But the thing is, you could split carries. Don't get me wrong. Brandon Oliver's not going to take the starting job, but Brandon Oliver could take the third down work. As to where, when he got hurt, Melvin Gordon was it. Melvin Gordon was everything. So, and this is a PPR format, keep in mind, because that's kind of like what I view more than standard, because I feel like not many people play standard that much anymore. You can email me if I'm wrong or tweet at me. It's fine. So it's like, I don't really see Melvin Gordon there. Like, Devontae Freeman's at 11th. I could see someone taking Devontae Freeman at 9th over McCoy or Gordon, and I'd be like, you know what? Like, yeah, that's fine. Or even DeMarco Murray or Jordan Howard. So it's like the top eight are the ones that I feel like these picks are kind of locked. These picks are kind of – these are the ones that everyone should be looking at.
Yeah, but picking then, outside of those eight is pretty suspect. Like, you should be like,
yeah,
really? Really? You love that guy more than these eight?
Yeah, it's like if you read – like, you know, it's your Bears fan. So say you win Jordan Howard at, like, 7. I would look at you and be like, yeah, like, you probably could have got him in the second round. Like, at that point, it's one of those things where it's like you really didn't need to reach for him right there. But right. the top eight isn't interchangeable. But I would say, like, after eight, pick 9 through, like,
12,
15. No, even 15, because 15 is DeMarco Murray in ADP, even though 14 is Michael Thomas, which I don't really agree with. Because you got to think, so 9, LeSean McCoy, then Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, Jordy Nelson, T.Y., Michael Thomas, DeMarco Murray. Take Michael Thomas out of there, because I feel like I just kind of don't see it happening. If you took DeMarco Murray at ninth, I could understand it. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. If you took Jordy Nelson early, like, all right, you want to stack, you want to get a good receiver. I see. I can understand that. And that's one of those things. It's kind of like, I feel like it's not necessarily like what round these players in. It's like what number do you group them in? But the top eight should stay the top eight, and that's what you're realistically looking for.
Well, okay. So you made some interesting comments there. One, I completely disagree, but that's okay. You know, that's what makes this show good, is we have disagreements. One of my favorite moves to do this year in these mock drafts I've done so far has been having the 12th pick and going Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas as my two top receivers. That's been my favorite move, because what I've noticed in these mock drafts is everybody's going running back crazy. Everybody's going running back heavy. And to me, I feel like, yeah, I'm not crazy about my running backs that I end up with and with my third round and fourth round pick, but I love my first two receivers. I think Michael Thomas is absolutely going to keep it going in New Orleans. Yes, I know the argument out there is, well, this is the Saints. They spread around the ball a lot. You know, they have Willie Snead there, who's still going to be a good receiver. You know, they might try to get Kobe Fleener more involved, you know, whatever. There's a couple arguments out there that I think that still doesn't tell me that Michael Thomas is in danger of his,
well, I'm
his
not
targets.
Saying, I'm not saying he's in danger of his targets. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of – it's hard for me to invest in a receiver in his second year. Like, he wasn't Odell Beckham. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't give me that, like, oh my God, this is the next. He wasn't Julio Jones. He wasn't like Antonio Brown, where you're like, this guy is.
No, but those guys weren't like themselves in their first year either.
Odell was.
Maybe Odell, you got me on that one. But Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, no.
Yeah, maybe not. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, he was really good. And I do think Michael Thomas is really good. I'm not knocking him at all. But, like, I just don't view him in that, like, second elite tier. You know what I mean?
How do you feel if I were to get him as my wide receiver two, like I made the scenario, getting Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas?
Wide receiver two is fine, but I would much rather have a running back there. I think, Nick, we've known each other long enough. You know I love drafting running backs early.
Of course.
And I'm of the mindset that, you know, a lot of backfields are split.
But keep in mind, I want to explain to you some of the scenarios that brought me to that Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas scenario. So picture in this case, you mentioned the top 15 players, right?
Yeah.
You had, you know, you have the top three elite running backs in the beginning of the first round gone. You've got probably LeSean McCoy. You got Devontae Freeman, Melvin Gordon. Those guys are probably gone because after five receivers and three running backs, that's only eight. You got those three running backs are gone. So that's what? 11, that's 11 picks right there. So at the 12th pick.
So let's say Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman, and LeSean are gone. You still have DeMarco Murray. You still have Jordan Howard, Jay Ajayi.
I'm not crazy about Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, but that's fine. You have Lamar Miller. Like, there are still running backs there.
From a conversation
I know you don't like Lamar Miller. I know you don't. You're not the biggest fan of Lamar Miller. But you keep in mind, you have Todd Gurley still there. Like, there is still talent there. But then, hey, you think about that. After, like, Todd Gurley, right, the next highest ranked running back is Leonard Fournette, who, on the Jaguars, since Maurice Jones-Drew, haven't had a solid running back ever. And, like, you got to think, Yeldon was hyped. I loved Ivory, did nothing there. So we don't know how Fournette's going to work out. And I'm not saying he's not a talent. He is. But then the next one, Isaiah Crowell. I like Isaiah Crowell. He's on the
Browns. I like Isaiah Crowell a lot, too.
He's on the Browns, though, but he's ranked at 34. So there is this tier of running back that you definitely want to get yourself into. Like I explained my draft earlier to you guys. No, I took Ezekiel Elliott in the third overall pick and Lamar Miller. I love Lamar Miller. And you guys know that. But that's fine. But then I grabbed, you know, it's a PPR. I grabbed Jarvis Landry, Jameson Crowder, Jordan Matthews. And then I grabbed Isaiah Crowell, grabbed Macklin late, Benjamin late. Like, yes, you can find running backs here and there that might hit.
You had Isaiah Crowell on that list? I didn't see him.
Yeah, the second team I drafted. Isaiah Crowell actually got very late. But, like, you have these receivers. Like, Jeremy Macklin will be good next year. Landry will be good. Like, especially in PPR, Jameson Crowder should be good. Jordan Matthews, he's back to a slot receiver. If he puts up the numbers he put up his rookie year, he's going to be great for you. And, like, yeah, you can find the LeGarrette Blount, Latavius Murray's late, but, like, they're not guaranteed anything. You know what I mean? Latavius Murray was splitting carries last year. Now he's on Minnesota, and they just drafted what they're already calling their future running back, and they already have a nice running back there. LeGarrette Blount, obviously Patriots backfield. He had a great year last year, but who knows? That being said, it's like, there's so much more talent in the receiver pool that I'm okay with not getting one of the, like, oh, you didn't get Antonio Brown or one of the top, like, 10 receivers. It's like, yeah, but I got Jarvis Landry. In a PPR, he averages 20 points a week.
You know, let me explain to you. You know, I'll be honest. So there's a situation. Probably my most important league of the year last year became a keeper league. So maybe I'm thinking of my mock draft a little differently this year than I normally would, because my keeper for this year is Jordan Howard in the last round of the draft.
Well, so, yeah, then you're not worrying about running backs if you have Jordan Howard.
That's why I'm thinking to myself, like, a Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas with Jordan Howard as my keeper. Well, it's pretty, like, damn good setup for the year.
I'm in a baseball league that's keeper, and I love it. I love it, love it. We were talking about making our football league a keeper league. I've been in this league with these guys for, like, 6 years, and, like, not to toot my own horn, I kick their ass every year. Like, I think the last 4 years I've come in second once and won three times. But it's one of those things where I do that because I always draft running backs heavy. And we were talking about, like, you know, like, let's make this a keeper league. And we kind of wanted the same rules as baseball. And I was like, how many keepers? Like, oh, we'll do four. So my keepers were going to be Ezekiel Elliott, Lamar Miller, Isaiah Crowell, in Jarvis Landry. And they were like, no, you can't do that. And I was like, why not? Like, because if I kept them, let's say, I'm not thinking about a running back at all. If you let me keep Ezekiel Elliott, I'm not looking at a running back till the fourth round. You know what I mean? Like, I in my mind, like, I just locked down my running back game. And I'm not saying Jordan Howard is Ezekiel Elliott, but Jordan Howard is going to be a number one running back next year.
Exactly.
He should finish in the top 10.
Right. So, that's exactly how I'm looking at it. Listen, like you said, you know, he's not Ezekiel. He doesn't have the same offensive line as Ezekiel Elliott, but he's not so far off as far as what he can do in that offense with that. The offensive line finished 15th overall. Not great, but really not terrible either. I'm actually working on an article coming up soon that I wanted to, you know, talk to people about how, you know, I really don't think that Jordan Howard's going to have the sophomore slump that Todd Gurley had that I've seen the comparisons for. They're comparing Jordan Howard to having the same second year that Todd Gurley had. And I'm going to explain it all in an article coming up soon. But listen, Max, you and I have dominated a lot of this conversation. Let's move along here. Is there
another co-host?
Yeah. There's Mike, the darling of Sleeper Wire, and the fans are probably outraged. They haven't even heard from the guy very much.
Yeah, but you know? Have a sweetheart. I'm America's sweetheart. Come on, guys.
The guy has the name Darling in his name. I mean, like, literally as his last name. Come on.
It just happens. Yeah, you can't stop it.
You can't stop it, Max. So, you know, Max asked a question before the show that he wanted to talk about on here. So, Mike, I'm going to present you with this question first, and hopefully you can elaborate a long answer before Max gets involved again. So, you know, from doing your mock draft and your personal opinion as well, like, where are you drafting rookies this season? And are you specifically targeting any rookies in this year's fantasy football drafts?
I'm getting Joe Mixon late, and I'm liking that. I really like his opportunity. I don't really see he'll getting too much of that workload this year. I mean, I know they keep saying he's turning it up, and I mean, I've just heard it and I've seen it all, and I just have never seen anything impressive. And that makes him, he's fast, and I think he has a lot to prove coming out of the gate. But that's really the only rookie I'm targeting. The rest of them seem to be going a little bit too early for me, as far as, like, say, Leonard Fournette. Like, and I'm really not a believer in the Jags running game. I just haven't seen anything that's sold me on that quite yet. It's funny
that you're saying that you're getting Joe Mixon late, because a lot of the mock drafts I did, and now, just so everybody's aware, I mean, I drafted on fantasydraftwizard.com, which is sponsored by, you know, Fantasy Pros, and they have it set up on their draft boards, or their mock drafts simulator, I should say, where they have you up against, you know, expert consensus ADPs. And in a lot of the mock drafts I did there, Joe Mixon was going third or fourth round. So I'm surprised that you were like how late were you getting Joe Mixon?
I'm usually in the fifth or sixth round, which, I mean, third or fourth seems a little more appropriate and kind of where I figured his landing spot would be before that, because you're going to see him in the preseason and he's going to become quite a quick value, I think, and you're going to see him raise up there. Just running back is such a thin position. And so, I mean, with going back to what you guys were talking about, where you got the two receivers, like, I couldn't agree with Max more. Like, you got to get a running back, and you got to get those running backs early, and you've got to get a lot of running backs if you want to be a champion. I mean, they're just so injury prone. I mean, every single one of them, they run the ball, they get hit by these 400-pound linebackers at 500 miles an hour. I mean, they take a beating. So it's not a very deep position, because you can't go out there and be David Johnson or be Ezekiel Elliott.
But hold on. I actually kind of disagree with you, Mike. I think the position of running back is deeper than it's ever been in the last few years. I think there's quite a number of running back. I mean, shit, we're talking about drafting, what, at least, you know, eight running backs, you know, seven running backs in the first round? Yeah, when has that ever happened?
After that seven, the tier drops off.
Like we mentioned, I mean, the tier is not the tier is not elite, Max, but I mean, for God's sakes, you still have running backs with a lot of upside. The tier is not elite,
but you have the running backs with upside who are more than likely to be sharing a backfield. And I want to try to steal time from Mike because I do want him to talk more because I like what he's saying. My question for you, Mike, Leonard Fournette, you said you weren't a fan of the Jaguars, like, you know, run game. Realistically, like, Maurice Jones-Drew growing up was my idol. Like, I loved him. He was just, I loved the way he ran. I loved everything about him. And he made me like the Jags. And it's kind of been disappointing for me to see them have such a horrible run game, you know, since he left, or even, like, since the year before he left. That being said, like, the only running back rookie that I see having the hype that Leonard Fournette's having is Michael. Is it Michael? Jesus Christ.
Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey, yep. We were talking about Christian Michael earlier. For the love of God.
Oh, God, you're bringing up his name again?
Not Christian Michael. Not Christian Michael. Christian McCaffrey. I'm way out of this. I got to keep hosting more so the fluidity of the names comes back to me. But McCaffrey is, like, you know, the next most hyped running back, and I loved him at Stanford. I thought he was amazing. Now, I have, like, no real interest in either of those running backs. Because I don't, like, I don't really like the Jags, you know, run game. And McCaffrey, like, are they going to keep Stewart starting? Like, what's going on this year? Is Calvin Benjamin going to make a major comeback in the NFL again? Like, is he going to be relevant? Like, what's going on there? Now, you loving Mixon, like, what makes you so excited for him? Because he doesn't have the hype, or I don't believe he has the hype, that some of these other running backs coming, like, who I don't think are going to do well. Like, there's no, like, Ezekiel Elliott, like, going behind the best O-line in the NFL. Like, these guys, yeah, they're great college talents, but, like, is that going to, you know, make its way to the NFL? You seem to like Mixon, and I'm just kind of, you know, why?
Like, well, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. Tell them about Joe Mixon.
Well, he's just such a powerful runner. I think what catches him up is his history. I think that's the reason why you don't hear a whole lot of people talking about him being the next best thing because of his history. And honestly, I mean, I believe that he turned over a new leaf. Although, I mean, I don't know the guy. He could go out and do it again tomorrow, and there would be the end of that. But it seems to me like he's got his focus. It seems to me like he's even kind of out of the rookie mode. He's already grown up, even kind of past that, just because of all the bad publicity that he got. And I think he's going to be running with a chip on his shoulder. And coming out of Alabama, the guy is a beast. I mean, he's just so fast, such a hard hitter, and I think he's ready for the NFL. And it's not like I don't like McCaffrey. I love McCaffrey. I'm a Broncos fan, so McCaffrey is just that's the name, you know. It just his price is too high for a rookie for me. I can't draft a rookie that high. Like, I just can't do that.
I mean, here's my thoughts on McCaffrey and Fournette, real quick. I think that, you know, with the upgrades that the Jaguars made to the defense. And yes, this happened last year too. I get it. They made upgrades to their defense and they still sucked. But maybe this year can be different. Who knows? But the point is, I think Leonard Fournette is going to be better than people expect. I think he's going to surprise people. I think they're definitely feeding him the ball. And the difference between him and TJ Yeldon is this is Leonard Fournette we're talking about, not TJ Yeldon. I think that's all you need to really know.
Yeah, but TJ Yeldon had the hype that Fournette.
Yeah,
had.
But and not like no, not but not like Fournette.
Yeah, but
TJ Yeldon doesn't have Leonard Fournette hype. Leonard Fournette was getting hyped 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But if you're talking like Mixon, like you're talking about like Bama running backs, you're like so hyped. It's like Yeldon, you know, was hyped. Derrick Henry was hyped. I'm not saying Derrick Henry's bad, but like he didn't like do anything yet in the NFL because DeMarc Murray is so good. But the Jet, like Chris Ivory, came off the Jets, the joke of a team, the Jets. And put up great numbers. Chris Ivory wasn't borderline RB1 for you. And when he went to the Jags, he went from borderline RB1 to completely irrelevant.
Well, let's also not forget, too, Chris Ivory slowed down that year as well. The second half of the season wasn't too kind to Chris Ivory owners either, that season that he went off. And the other thing is they had the offensive coordinator that knew how to get their running backs open and out there when Chris Ivory was playing for the Jets. Now, I'm just saying that I think that Leonard Fournette's a different talent than Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon, and I think that while I don't want him as my RB2, but that's the price you're going to have to pay this season. And I really think that it's a big risk, yet it's kind of one of those risks that's like, okay, I might take that risk. It's not my favorite risk to take, though, in this year's draft. And Christian McCaffrey, as far as I'm concerned, this is a guy that they're going to use in special packages. Like, he is going to be the PPR darling, I think, when all is said and done this season. As long as they're working him in with special packages that they're making specifically for Christian McCaffrey, just because we know Cam Newton has not typically been a check-down type of quarterback. But I think that'll change. I mean, you don't really take a guy at number 8 overall and not plan to use him the correct way. I just don't see it playing out that way. Maybe the Panthers are a really dumb team then, you know, if they're not going to do that. But I don't think they are. But we'll see as that goes. Now, but moving on from the rookies, because there was something else I've seen a lot of, and you know, Max, I want to get your opinion first here. In a lot of the mock drafts I've seen, Marshawn Lynch was going in the 3rd round. I am looking forward to seeing what Marshawn Lynch does behind Oakland Raiders' offensive line, but I'm not looking forward to seeing it on my team if it's going to have to be a 3rd round price tag. I mean, what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the mock drafts I did, he was going in the 5th round. His ADP was roughly the 4th, from what I saw. Mm-hmm. If I could get him as my running back 4, so if I'm like honestly talking about like the 10th round, then I'd do it. The thing, and that's not a knock on Marshawn Lynch. Like, please don't think that is, because I do think Marshawn Lynch will have a good year. I just think there are other young running backs Oakland has that they want to use for 3rd down work. They want to use for certain things. They just want Marshawn Lynch to rumble, which is going to be good, you know, for the first 2 downs, or for goal line work, which is great. But like I said, I primarily focus on PPR. But Nick, you also have to think too, like, because you mentioned like you might not want to pay the high price of Fournette or even 3rd round for Marshawn Lynch. If you're taking 2 elite wide receivers first, you might be faced with having to take Marshawn Lynch or to take Leonard Fournette. So realistically, this isn't going to be like a me question, because like I know what I'm going to take in the first 2 rounds. Like, I know at least in 1 of those 2 rounds, I'm taking a running back, so I won't even look at Lynch if he's going in the 3rd. But, like, how would you or Mike feel about your RB1 being Marshawn Lynch?
Well, the good news is that in one of my leagues, I won't have to worry about that, because I have Jordan Howard as my RB1.
Well, but just going off of...
In general. Because I'm in other leagues, so I, like, you know, it's not my only league, you know. But, you know, if Marshawn Lynch is my RB1, you know what I'm doing at that point then is I'm going RB heavy and grabbing a lot of upside talents behind him. You know, like, for example, I'll tell you what I did in every mock draft I did, and I strongly suggest, unless his ADP starts getting higher, everybody should do this. I was getting Doug Martin in the 6th round. Every single mock draft, and making sure with like one of my last picks, I grabbed Jaquizz Rodgers as his handcuff, because Doug Martin will be back after a 4-game suspension. The hype is there for him. Yeah, it might be just hype, but I love how like the reports are still great on Doug Martin, and I really think that once he comes back, he is going to take over in that offense. That is just going to be so much more dynamic. You know, it's not just going to be throw the ball to Mike Evans. It's going to have DeSean Jackson. It's going to have O.J. Howard. It's going to open up defenses that the running game, I think, can be so much better there in Tampa, that I really think Doug Martin is going to be a steal this year.
Love that.
Yeah, and if you get Jaquizz Rodgers, I mean, this is the guy they're going to start. Charles Sims might be their 3rd down back, but Jaquizz Rodgers is going to be the guy who they're going to play for those first 4 weeks. Therefore, you will have a great running back with 2 picks, one in the 6th round, which is already great value for Doug Martin as it is. And then I was getting Jaquizz Rodgers really late, like with one of my last picks in the draft. This is great value for what could be a really strong, like high-end RB2
on your team. But you also have to think, like, all right, so your RB2 is going to be Doug Martin, which would be, honestly, like, I love Doug Martin, and I don't want people to get the normal, like, fantasy exhaustion off players. I don't know a proper way to say it. I'm going to try not to screw up any names. But, like, if we look at Lamar Miller, we were talking about him earlier. People mentioned, you know, year after year, I'm getting burned. Well, realistically, if you look at Lamar Miller's numbers, you know, year after year, he's been a decent running back. Last year was his first year being a fringe, like, first rounder. And unfortunately, he had Osweiler's as quarterback. Didn't work out for him. I expect better things. But, like, Doug Martin's been around for a while. You know, he keeps getting hurt. He keeps doing stupid stuff. But the talent is there. But that being said, are you really happy with Marshawn Lynch and Jaquizz Rodgers as your RB1 and 2 for the first 4 weeks of the season?
Well, listen, I mean, that was just one of my... That was one of my scenarios of a guy who I'm going to – that I've been – like, listen, it's not like I went, okay, I got Marshawn Lynch here and I got Doug Martin with Jaquizz Rodgers as backup and that's the only running backs I got. I mean, you know, I went on a strong run of getting, like, running back. And listen, when I – like, for example, I'll tell you about the draft that I had where I got Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas. I got Isaiah Crowell as my RB1. So that was that. And then afterwards, I ended up getting Ty Montgomery. So I had Isaiah Crowell, Ty Montgomery. Then I went with another – I went with Larry Fitzgerald. Then I got Doug Martin. You know, so – and then, you know, I got I think maybe I got later Danny Woodhead, you know, as another guy for PPR. I think he's going to be underrated.
I'm playing host right now, but in your guys' mock draft, have you been seeing, like, I don't know, this is like a trend necessarily, Latavius Murray with Garrett Blount and Ty Montgomery are going exceedingly late in this draft. Like, crazy late. I think I got Ty in the 7th. I got Latavius in, like, the 9th. And I think one of the things I just need to clean up pick, and I took LeGarrette Blount, like, the 14th. Now, LeGarrette Blount, like, New England backfield could be terrible. He was a monster last year. Like, why do teams not like these players?
Well, Max, before you go there, I want to give Mike the opportunity, because you asked me and him that same question about Marshawn Lynch, if we got him as our RB1. I want to know what Mike would have done in that situation, too. If you went for – I know you are on the scheme, Mike, of grabbing a lot of RBs or grabbing RBs early. But if just for whatever reason the cards fell where you had – a choice of two elite receivers back-to-back, and you were faced with a choice of, like, a Marshawn Lynch or an Isaiah Crowell as your RB1, what would you do in that situation?
I think I'd react to it. I mean, that's why I didn't even chime in right there, almost the exact same way you just said. I mean, I'm thinking I'm in a great position. I probably have, like, Antonio Brown and, you know, because that's how the chips fell to me. I wouldn't figure if I'm drafting in the 3rd round running back that things are falling my way, but that would be panic reaction time. I mean, there is a lot of good guys that have good upside. I'm just saying that elite tier, that top 7, that top 8, those guys, there's just such a big drop between those two, RB1 and RB2, you know. I mean, but I think RB2 to RB3, I think there's all kinds. I mean, I'm way amped up on Doug Martin. I really, at the end of the day, think I'd honestly be okay with Marshawn Lynch and Jaquizz Rodgers as my 1 and 2 going through weeks 1 and 4, and then Doug Martin and Marshawn Lynch. I mean, I'd have to see a lot of impressive stuff out of Marshawn Lynch in the preseason before I ever drafted him, obviously. But
Of course. And that's why I mentioned, too, taking Ty Montgomery, taking, you know, some other running backs in there as well, and not just relying solely just on Jaquizz and Marshawn Lynch, you know?
Right.
Right. So go ahead. Why don't you answer Max's question, too? He asked, you know, why are people hating on guys like Latavius Murray, LeGarrette Blount, and Ty Montgomery? Like, what is your thoughts of why this is happening in mock drafts?
You know, I think LeGarrette Blount, maybe the after effects of being a New England Patriot and always getting those, you know, not really vultured, but they kind of abandoned him toward the end of the season unless they really needed him, and then he'd go pound out 3 touchdowns. But, yeah, no, I mean – I don't really understand why there isn't more hype for him.
That's the thing. It's like I'm looking like a guy, our social media guy, John, huge diehard Eagles fan. And every, like, for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been like, or when you had DeMarco Murray, I was kind of like, all right. But the Eagles didn't have a power back. I was like, you know, Ryan Matthews cannot be the big guy. He can't. Well, he's the biggest we got. I'm like, but he's not built for it. Like, you need the guy to pound the ball in. Like, you need that. And when they signed LeGarrette Blount, I was like, oh, shit, like, they got it. They did it. Like, good for them. But then I'm looking at these, like, mock drafts. I'm like, do people forget on the Patriots he was a monster? Like, he's still young. Like, what's going on? Like, I feel like these running backs who have been in the league so long, who, like, haven't really, like, impressed to the point where you're like, oh, they're elite. It's like, you just look at them and you're like, all right, it's him, it's whatever. And you're like, but what are you talking about? Like, Latavius Murray, like, why is he so low? Why is Ty so low? Especially in the PPR drafts that I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, Ty Montgomery, to me, kind of makes sense that he goes a little bit later. I don't really find much exciting about that just because it's Aaron Rodgers and he likes to bomb that ball all the damn time. He never throws it close, it seems, until he's getting sacked or something to that effect. I think he'll have big games, but I don't think he'll have a big season, per se.
You know, if you don't mind, Mike, I just want to ask Max's question, I think, about LeGarrette Blount here, is that, you know, I think that LeGarrette Blount, look, he just, you know, he's 30 this year, first off, so he's not really that young. I mean, especially for a running back. You know, second of all, I mean, LeGarrette Blount was with the Patriots, a completely different team who's much more superior at scoring than the Eagles, in my opinion. You know, you have Tom Brady who can get them down to the down to the goal line, and all LeGarrette Blount has to do is just, you know, run it up the middle from a yard out into the end zone. So, you know, LeGarrette Blount definitely had, you know, his best season because he was on the best team in the NFL.
He still had big games. I mean, LeGarrette Blount was still a very viable running back, if we're talking yards wise. And, like, he's 30. But if you look at the tread on the tires, there's a lot left. You know what I mean? Like, he really wasn't used very well until last year. In the Eagles offense, I love it this year. Like, I think it's amazing. Like, I think
I know. The Eagles That's are why going you made the be, bet with me for Carson Wentz.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think the Eagles are going to be a force. So I don't see, like, you have Sproles, who's going to be doing all, like, the intermediate, like, third down work. You have Smallwood, who's probably going to get, you know, between the 10s or between the 20s. But LeGarrette Blount's going to pound the ball in, and he's going to be a great flex play. And he could possibly be a low-end RB2. I could see him being a decent RB3. And, like, I'm just watching him fall down these draft boards, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, all right, this is the fourth running back I'm picking up. Why is he still here? Like, why are people taking, like, Devin Cook over him? Like, I don't get it. Like, Latavius Murray's there. Like what's going on that makes people look at these rookies who have people in front of them and being like, oh, I'd rather that guy. I'd rather Derrick Henry than LeGarrette Blount. It's like, well, there's a guy named DeMarco Murray in front of Derrick Henry, and I heard he's pretty good.
Like, well, first off, listen, there's quite a few backfields that I'm not even going to touch, and Minnesota is one of those backfields. I hate their offensive line. It's complete garbage. You know, you can't run anything through that offensive line.
Yeah, but they've done it year after year.
But it's gotten progressively worse year after year.
Yeah, well, that's because it's running back. But, like, this is something I was thinking about the other day, too. You look at these teams that historically run the ball a lot, no matter kind of, like, how shitty their team is. When you look at, you know, the Bears, Minnesota, Texas. Like, no matter how bad their team is, they just, you know, keep handing the ball off. And I think Latavius Murray has the body and the build, you know, to take that workload. So I don't really understand why people are just like, it's Latavius Murray. He's okay. It's like, do you forget he was an RB1 when, you know, he actually got the snaps for Oakland? When the Raiders didn't give up on him because they wanted their rookies to succeed so much? To the point where when they didn't play Latavius Murray, the rookies failed. And then they were kind of forced to play Latavius Murray. I hate seeing talent overlooked. And just like, so like nonchalantly. And it's like, LeGarrette Blount, like, doing me wrong, I don't think he's the end all. But I don't think I should be taking him in the 14th round. I don't think I should have a defense. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I had my defense and my kicker. And I was kind of just like, well, I'll see the last two rounds are. Who's left? I'm like, oh, my God, LeGarrette Blount's here. What's going on?
Like, I don't like it. I agree. LeGarrette Blount should definitely have been drafted earlier than that. I mean, that I'm not going to argue with.
But Latavius Murray, I got in the 11th. You know what I mean? Like,
LeGarrette Blount, I would definitely want over Latavius Murray, first off. For starters. You know, and just to, you know, go along with my other thought, too. Like, you know, I said Vikings isn't a backfield I want to touch. The Saints is certainly a backfield I don't want to have any part of. You know, Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, I don't give a shit. You know, I don't want to see – I don't care how that breaks down. I don't want a part of it. You know, I think I can get better options in this year's draft that I don't need to deal with that headache. I mean, what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, that's I'm such an Adrian Peterson fan that I'm like kind of starting to talk myself into it the closer we're getting. I'm like, man, just imagine if he comes out half his level, you know, half of the level he was running back in his prime, you know. But I I'm with you. It's just such a tricky situation.
Now, Mike, before
Minnesota backfield, I can't touch that.
Before you joined us on the Sleeper Wire crew, did you ever listen to our show when I used to? I had Adrian Peterson on my team, and I would give him, I'd like talk shit about him every single week because he would get 18 carries, but there'd be one carry for 64 yards and a touchdown. And I'd be like, he did terrible. He had 17 carries for 40 yards. But for some reason, every single game, no matter what, Adrian Peterson always broke off one massive carry. And like, it pissed me off so bad because like, I loved having him on my team, but at the same time, it was like, oh, like you're not that good.
Yeah, his past couple of years haven't been very pleasant. Like, that's for sure. It's just, like I said, it's not even really, it's the fact that he's getting overlooked and it's Adrian Peterson. I mean, I just remember last year, I believe in my main league, Adrian Peterson went fifth and I was sixth pick, and I wanted Adrian Peterson. I was kind of bummed that he went. And so I ended up having to get a guy named David Johnson instead.
That's just a shame. But Nick, actually, this is a question for you. I know I'm talking a lot. I'm playing host and co-host, and I shouldn't be doing that. It's been a while. Deal with it. You just said you wouldn't touch it, right? You wouldn't touch the Saints. You wouldn't touch Minnesota. You probably wouldn't touch Tennessee. God knows they have two great running backs.
No, you know, here's actually your...
All right. If you will touch Tennessee, that's fine. So Saints, Minnesota, Jets, no go. You don't like Lamar Miller. You don't like Ajayi. You already said it. Leonard Fournette is a risky pick. Like, we all know that. Todd Gurley has a shitty O-line. Now, the more we talk about running backs, the more it sounds like, you know, there are less and less good options.
Listen. What I was saying was about how running back is deep. I mean, yes. Are there questions about guys this year? Absolutely. Are there questions about guys every year? Yes. Now, look, I think that, like, for example, the Titans backfield, like, I want DeMarco Murray, but the one problem with taking DeMarco Murray this year is that you're not going to get Derrick Henry as your handcuff. And this, listen, before anybody chimes in, I just want everybody to know, I'm a guy who believes in drafts that there are certain running backs you want to get handcuffs for. And, you know, DeMarco Murray would be a guy I want to get the handcuff for in Derrick Henry. Because, you know, if DeMarco Murray is going down, Derrick Henry is a high price ticket item or the savior to your football team. And, you know, the problem with that is Derrick Henry has been in, at least in mock drafts. I mean, it could be different in your casual, you know, sweatpants fantasy football type league. You know, where nobody really, you know, where maybe one of you in your league are listening to this show just to get the upper hand here. And everybody else is just kind of casually just, you know, picking their nose and picking their players at the same time here, you know? So, yeah, maybe you'll get Derrick Henry, I don't know, maybe the last pick in your draft because you got DeMarco Murray with your first-round pick. But if you are in a very competitive league, Derrick Henry's going in like the fifth round, sixth round. That's a high price to grab a handcuff for a running back.
It's absurd.
It's really absurd.
Like, that's the thing. I know you don't like Minnesota's backfield, but, like, why are people taking Derrick Henry over Ty Montgomery, over Latavius Murray, over LeGarrette Blount? Like, why is this happening?
I think
every New England running back, like, I know, like, oh, there's always one. I like James White the best this year.
White the best this year, too.
His ADP is the 12th round. Like, why? Like, people are getting backups before they even get starters. I don't understand. Like, and that's why I attack starting running backs. And then, realistically, I usually get one or two backup receivers, and then I get anyone's handcuff. Like, when Jamaal Charles was a thing, dude, I had Spencer Ware. I had whoever was his backup. I always had Adrian Peterson's backup. I always had Alfred Blue's backup. I wouldn't even have them as starters.
Alfred Blue.
I always had – I'd grab Alfred Blue when Foster was a running back. Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like – people like me who are like just running backs, like lunatics, I draft my three running backs real quick. I get them the probably first four or five rounds. I have three running backs I'm happy with. And then I draft my receivers. I'll take Stafford in the 12th round and be happy with it. But bet your ass, if you're like LeSean McCoy, if you're Adrian Peterson, if you're DeMarco Murray, I'm attacking your backup, right, whether I have the starter or not. And that's the issue that I see, and that's why I think like getting those running backs who really, like, yeah, if they get hurt, you're screwed, but like they're not going to be overtaken. Like Derrick Henry could outplay DeMarco Murray. Mark Ingram, who's probably the backup this year, can outplay Adrian Peterson.
Right.
But like, I don't think Alfred Blue is going to outplay Lamar Miller. I don't think Alfred Morris, even though I do really like Alfred Morris, I don't think he'll outplay Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, right. Jones. I mean, listen, there are certain running backs I'm not grabbing their handcuffs for either. I mean, you're right. I'm not going to grab Ezekiel Elliott's handcuff. Although, you know, I mean, if he does go down, Alfred Morris is the guy to get, and you damn sure want to get him because he's still a decent, you know, backup. But, you know, these are guys that, you know, you can wait on the waivers to go get. The guys I want to get handcuffs for are like, if I were to take, because in one draft I took Christian McCaffrey, I want Jonathan Stewart because I think that they're the handcuff. Or, you know, very, very well they could split the carries. I'm not sure of that situation yet, but I want to have both. That way, if one is playing better than the other, I have both, so I don't have to worry about getting, you know, trying to get waiver priority.
See, or, that's like one backfield I don't want to touch.
I see. I like that backfield. I think they run the ball really well there. I think that's a perfect area to have the backfield for. But
the lack of touchdowns bothers me.
The lack of touchdowns is a little disturbing, but I think that could go up this season. I'm for some reason, I just have an itch about that backfield. It's more of an instinct for me with that backfield. But, you know, another one, too, like I mentioned before, Jaquizz Rodgers, that's a no-brainer to get for Doug Martin as a handcuff. I mean, because Doug Martin's not starting for the first four games. You know, so you got to get Jaquizz Rodgers if you take Doug Martin. You know, other ones, too, Ty Montgomery. I want Jamal Williams with, like, one of my last picks in the draft. You know, there's been a lot of hype around him. Kareem Hunt. Is that going to be the handcuff for Spencer Ware? You know, that's another backfield that I want that handcuff because of the hype around Kareem Hunt and what he's been able to do in minicamp. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in training camp as well. You know, look, this is early draft trends. There's a lot of early things we're talking about here that we're going to get more clarity on, you know, later in July and in the beginning of August. Things are going to start to form better as far as what we're going to see out there, you know, come week one of the season. So this show was for early draft trends, just things we've already noticed, things we're maybe nitpicking about mock drafts we've done, you know, Max to just, you know, talk his throat out so that, you know, he cannot be on another show for 10 weeks.
It's been a while. The fans wanted to hear my sultry voice. Let's be honest.
Well, then
I got a new mic. I'm sounding great. Like, come on.
Hey, listen, you got it all out. I think you've said it all, Max. I think you've done it all. and poor Mike has just been a part of the Nick and Max show today. I think that's what it was.
It could be worse. You guys should listen to yourselves. It's actually not too bad. I was just sitting back here having a good time listening.
Listen, you know, this is going to be – I'm going to tell the fans right now. Look forward to this season to listen to us here at Sleepwire because I think this might be – this is going to be our third season with you guys. This is going to be the most exciting time to be a fan of Sleepwire because I think this show – and what we've been doing and working on in the off season is just going to be mind blowing for you guys. I mean, we are going to be delivering so much more content, so much more information, really looking for ways to help you guys win your leagues even more than ever before. So please, guys, make sure you are tuned into us during preseason. You know, these next 2 months, we're going to be amping it up. July, we're going to be start pushing out two episodes a week. I know you guys have been getting the treat of a great debate plus these full episodes. So, but we are going to be putting out two full shows a week starting July. We're going to have some excellent content. We're going to be scheduling some more guests. We've already had some great ones for you guys. you know, with Marcus Grant and Matt Harmon. These were some excellent guests we've had in this off season. You guys got to come check it out. I mean, we're planning so much for you. We got a draft kit getting built. The website is up. It's starting to look come along great. We're going to have articles soon. You know, I mean, everything is really coming together for us. As Max mentioned, a Patreon is being developed and worked on with so much extra stuff we can give you. And listen, you know, yes, Patreon. I know you're like, oh, here it is. They're finally asking for money. No, you got to understand. It's not like we are asking for the money for us because, you know, we want to pay off our bills with your money. Listen, I mean, would that be nice? Yeah.
It would help.
Yeah. It would definitely help. But, you know, we're not thinking like that. We're thinking about trying to help our friend Rob, and this has been something we have been campaigning for 2 years. And we're sorry, but we have to push harder. And we have to work harder to get him that money for the treatments he needs. I mean, listen, guys, I mean, this is 2 years that we're talking about that we've been trying to get him the help, and we're not even close, you know, and it sucks. But,
well, Nick, if I can say, because I am the one working the Patreon currently,
yeah,
I already have listed, and we've mentioned before, we're a charity-based podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Our first goal for when we raise money through this Patreon, you know, if the community just wants the help, would be awesome. We're trying to become a 501c3, and mm-hmm. we're trying to do that because we look at all these different, like, charities out there, like the Chive Charities, for example. The Chive Charities is something I love because they raise all this money in this awesome community they have, and I feel like we have too, and they help the individual person. They find mm-hmm. they find the story of the person, and they help these people's lives. They change their lives, and that's what right. we at Sleeperwire want to do. Exactly. And that's why that Patreon's a thing. It's not for us to like, oh, we're buying a studio. It's, hey, you know, with this money, we could really change the world, essentially, through the help of the community, through the help of everyone who loves fantasy football, everyone who just is good and kind. We could do something that's greater than us. And that's what our goal is.
And you know something? I mean, you guys might be saying, well, then why not just donate to, you know, why not support one of these bigger causes, you know, one of these bigger outlets, you know, of charities out there. And listen, here's the thing. I think that it's more impactful to help one live at a time than to just help millions at once. I mean, because when you're helping one person at a time, you're really there for that person. You learn that person's story, what they're going through. You can develop that connection with that person to try and help them out. I mean, helping the masses is just not
helping the masses is good, but I mean, you gotta think,
it is
if you're I think the way you're putting it is like, if you're giving money to like the Jimmy Fund or the Breast Cancer Awareness Association, the VA, you know, you're kind of just giving it to a pool. They decide where they want it to go, which is fine. You know what I mean? Like, that's their own prerogative. But when you, like, if a fan reaches out to us and says, hey, I have this friend, he's an avid listener, avid player, blah, 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 his family's going through XYZ, he's suffering through XYZ, blah, 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 you know, I would love to be like, you know what, like, let's talk to him. Let's find, like, what can we do to help? Like, what is your story? You know what I mean? And we can help one person at a time and just chip away at, like, everything that's out there. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, My mother had breast cancer. Those charities are amazing, but they get all the money, but like, they already have their thing. We want to be, you know, for the people, for you.
That's right. All right, guys, listen,
ramble on.
We've said it all. We've done it all today. If you guys want more of this show and what you can do to help us out, help the world out as we're trying to do, and you know, I mean, let's not forget, we're also trying to help you guys win fantasy football championships on a lighter note. I mean, no, that's something else we strive to do as well. You know, we love to help people and help their lives, but we're trying to help you. So please, guys, go to sleepwire.com for all your information and for every podcast. All our rankings are up there. You can go check them out. You can follow us on Twitter at Sleepwire Show. You can follow me specifically on Twitter at Sleepwire Nick. Max, where can they follow you?
I have to make a new Twitter.
Okay. So yeah. He's under construction right now. You can't really follow him anyway.
TBD.
Yeah, TBD. But, Mike, what about you? Where can they follow you?
I'm at Dr. Kane 21 and Dr. Kane on Sleeperbot.
All right, guys. Well, this is it. I think we had a pretty exciting episode. I think it was a little all over the place, but you know what? I think there was some great conversation in there, some great tips for you guys. Mike, thank you for joining us on the Nick and Mac show. Appreciate it, Mike.
It was a good time, as always.
Yeah, that should be the new name.
Yeah, there you go. Max, again, thank you for being on today. I know it's been a while, so thank you very much. So for Max and Mike, I'm Nick Summerall saying so long, everybody. Good night.
Don't forget LeGarrette Blount.